Blog Talk Radio.
New low price. Nice.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
That's what I'm talking about.
Whippy, whippy, whippy.
Oh, I get it. Because you're so strong.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Yeah.
Get new Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Now costs less than glass.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Live on air.
This is a product of WBNN. This is Eating on a Spiritual Level with Chef Yosef. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Call in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. This is Chef Yosef, and happy to be here with you again, live on the air on a spiritual level. We have a very special guest in the building tonight. This young lady I met, she's a very interesting person. She's a registered dietitian. She works in a hospital, and she's also vegan, so I wanted to get a chance to have a conversation with her and talk to her about getting a better perspective on plant-based nutrition. She just gave me some real insight on just having a conversation with her about how it is, how we have to look at nutrition from a different standpoint now. Those of us that have transitioned to being a vegan, because a lot of times the vegan world is inclusive of a lot of junk food and a lot of things that are notably recognized as being vegan, so to speak, because they don't include any animal products. However, it's not healthy. So we're going to have a conversation about that. But before we get into that, I just want to talk about this show, being as though we are only on once a month, which I'm very grateful for the space. I just want to encourage you to please share this show with your friends and family, to let them know that we're on the air, talk about health, talk about, you know, being a plant-based eater, to, you know, get a better perspective of eating healthy, and just so people can know that there it can be done, and we're here to offer all the direction that we can, because a lot of people that are trying to transition don't know how to, they don't know where to start. So, you know, we're here to try to help with that. So we want to get the word out, spread the word out as much as we can with friends and family and those of us who know other people who are trying to, you know, transition to eating healthy and, you know, just need more information. We want to know how to start, you know, want to know what foods to eat, what they shouldn't eat, what they should eat. You know, sometimes it can feel like it's a very lonely journey. I don't want anyone to feel like they can't accomplish it. So, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to answer questions that you feel as though you can't get answers to and be able to, you know, give you some direction, give you food ideas, give you a perspective on how to, you know, eat things that attribute more to your health and not go with the commercial ideas as far as, you know, what they put in marketing, you know, eating things that are laden with sugar and fat, just not healthy at all. So, know how many are on the line that are actually vegan, but those of us who are, I have a host of fellow friends, fellow co-hosts who happen to be vegan and plant-based eaters that just, they know and share the same passion as I do with trying to help people and get the word out there, get the word across. So that's what we want to do. That's what we want to push. Brother O, is my guest on the line yet? If she's not, then I'll just keep talking.
I believe she is. Call her.
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Oh,
hello.
Great. Oh, great. Margo, how are you?
Thank you for the beautiful introduction.
Of course. I didn't even get to give you the full introduction. I mean, I think I did you justice because you have such an extensive resume. I need to talk about that for just a second before I introduce to the rest of the world. So my guest tonight is registered dietitian Margo Couture. She works in acute care and clinical nutrition, specializing in cardiology and plant-based nutrition. She's very passionate about trauma-informed health care and was previously working for SNAP in SNAP ED at the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, providing nutrition education and cooking classes in the community. Now, that's right up my alley. Also, she's a personal trainer and has been working in health the health field for 8-plus years. And I think that's an amazing accomplishment. To wear all those hats and to be good at all of them, it says a lot.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've been, you know, I know that I'm, like, pretty young. I'm 26, so I'm young. So to be working in, you know, the health field for 8 years, I got into this industry at, like, a relatively young age, and I knew, like, exactly what I wanted to do because I had my own, you know, issues with, like, health. And growing up, I was always overweight. You know, I was in a larger body, and so I transformed my life through food, nutrition, exercise, you know, and I knew immediately that I wanted to help other people. And so, like, at a young age, I was like, always teaching people about nutrition even before I was credentialed. You know, I don't recommend that now, but everybody would always be like, you need to do this, like, for a career. And so that's why I went to school, like, immediately for nutrition, and I started being a personal trainer pretty young. So I'm really grateful that I was able to get into this industry younger, where some people, you know, discover their passions and their career at an older age after they've already, like, had a initial career. So I'm very thankful for that.
Great. That's fantastic. Well, you know, I think that just you starting at such a young age with that type of passion is extremely commendable, because most people who are like 18, 19 years old, they're not thinking about nutrition. They're thinking about what Chinese buffet they can hit and how many pizza parlors they can hit. And so for you to have a whole transition in mind about your health and, you know, changing your whole body and your way of eating, I think that's very commendable. And then get a passion to help other people, that's amazing.
Yeah, and initially I wasn't vegan, and so initially it started out as just like being interested in nutrition and how it affects our bodies, more so on an aesthetic level, you know, how food can change your body and how you can build muscle with certain foods. And I was very into bodybuilding, and so I was more looking at it from an aesthetic point. And as I, you know, studied nutrition more and I got more in tune with my body and I started becoming more spiritual and intuitive, I, you know, found veganism. And then once I found veganism, I realized that, and I just started being more passionate about how food, you know, impacts our mind, our body, our soul, you know, in addition to looking good, because everybody wants to look good, you know, in addition to feeling good.
Absolutely, I agree. What was the straw that broke the camel's back for you? What is the one thing that you just said, you know what, I got to do something different. I got to change the game. I'm not eating animal products anymore. Who's that one thing that just pushed you over the bridge?
It's actually funny. I had a friend at the time. She was vegan, and she had been vegan for so long. And every time we would go out to eat, she would, like, nudge me, and she'd be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you still eating this type of food? Like, you're so into nutrition and health. Like, what are you doing? And I was like so in denial for so long because I was in the bodybuilding industry, and within the bodybuilding industry, there's a big focus on protein. And it's not that protein's not important, but the message that I was consistently getting being surrounded by a lot of people in bodybuilding was like animal protein and animal meat and chicken and turkey and tilapia. And so it was really hard for me to get out of that mentality. But when I saw how happy my friend was and how intuitive she was and spiritual, she would be like, try it. And I love a good challenge. So initially, like the first day I did it kind of like to prove her wrong. And then I realized like within a day how much more in tune with myself I was when I started eating plant-based. And I didn't go vegan overnight. I initially started, I took out meat, and then I took out fish, and then I took out eggs, and then I took out dairy. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I actually love this. So it initially started out as like me trying to prove my friend wrong because she said, you won't do it. And then it ended up being something that I was like so passionate about. So I like thank her so much to this day for getting me into it. And, you know, initially I watched all of the shows like Forks Over Knives and The Game Changers and Cowspiracy. And I just was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that I was participating in, you know, the like mass slaughter of animals. And we might not feel like we're participating in that, but when you're paying for a product that comes, you know, we're blindly paying for the slaughter of animals. So I just didn't want to be involved in that anymore. And so I ended up completely transforming to vegan, and it's been awesome since. And now I am a dietitian, and I, you know, of course I work on other things in the hospital, but I really do find a lot of like passion in teaching people about how plant-based nutrition can affect their health.
That's an amazing story, an amazing testimony as well. You know, I have to ask, I'm pretty sure that you coming in with this whole new philosophy, especially working in the hospital, it has a lot of old school of like the school of thought is very old and you know, antiquated. So how do you deal with that challenge? Because I've seen dietitians that work in the hospital, and most of them don't look like the picture of health, number one. Number two, they're still preaching the old food pyramid, which by no means is healthy in any fashion. They're telling you to eat like five servings of bread and you know, and four servings of milk and cheese and those types of proteins. And you know, you got to have, you know, meat protein. But it's crazy because in the pyramid, you only have maybe two or three servings of fruits and vegetables. Everything else is, you know, all the stuff that's really bad for you. So how did you come against that type of thought process that is being, you know, still perpetuated, unfortunately, in the healthcare industry?
Yeah, I think, you know, first off, I want to note that the way that we eat is so multifactorial. Like, depending on how we were raised, where we were raised, our culture, our mentality about food, you know, how we feel about ourselves, how our parents showed us how to eat. Like, there are so many things that go into why we eat what we eat. And I think that outside of, you know, the mentality about the different types of food that people eat, there's a lot of old information that's not accurate to these days that people are still following, such as, you know, you need complete sources of amino acids, where every food has all essential amino acids. It's just you need to have different types of food to get all of the amino acids. But there's misinformation out there that people believe that certain food is missing essential amino acids, which isn't true. And so a lot of doctors, actually, I'm really surprised, and dietitians that are coming up really believe in the fact that plant-based nutrition is so beneficial for us. And so it's just trying to like break down the old mentality and the old misinformation that's kind of still out there. And I think we're doing a really good job because I am seeing like more plant-based products being given to patients, and we're working on getting a whole new line of plant-based vegan tube feeding products, which is very highly used in acute care when a patient is like sedated and intubated and in critical care. A lot of the formulas that are being given right now are dairy-based, so they're based from like whey, casein, and so the hospital that I work at and a lot of companies like Abbott and Nestle are starting to kind of push some of the plant-based products. So we're going to be getting a whole new line of plant-based tube feeding products, which is like amazing. I was just told that today, actually. So it's like really, really exciting. One of the biggest brands is Kate Farms, which is a vegan tube feeding formula, and our hospital is going to be getting it. So I think that the research is like so obvious and it's so there that it's hard to continue looking the other way for a lot of people because it's like so in our faces that plant-based nutrition is so beneficial for us.
Wow, that's great because now there's hope because it didn't seem like it was before because a lot of what's offered in the hospitals is not really benefiting the health of a patient because you know, they're suffering already from disease, a certain amount of disease, and they need a turnaround in their levels of nutrition. And to still give them stuff that they're normally eating is not going to help them. So I'm glad that they're starting to find other things that are more plant-based that can really help the patient out, you know.
A lot of hospitals, I believe, in California are starting to provide more plant-based nutrition. I think the East Coast is a little bit behind, but the West Coast is definitely getting there a little bit faster.
Yeah, that's very good. That's good. So let me ask you this. What, as far as your approach, which I know is very different, which is actually good, what do you get more of a positive response or do you get some kind of pushback from some of the older players in the game? They're like, you know, they don't really want to embrace the whole plant-based nutrition type thing.
Do you mean like patient-wise or like the hospital and how it's run, like the management and those like chefs and culinary?
Those people, your colleagues and, you know, people that you have to deal with on a regular basis as far as trying to get them to understand that this approach is better.
You know, I don't really get much pushback from, like, the administration and hospital standpoint. Even with the chefs and, like, the culinary team at the hospital, like, they are very, very forward-thinking, which I'm, like, pleasantly shocked at. I haven't really had much pushback. And anytime I come up with, like, an idea or I say, hey, let's try this, even in the kitchen for like the employees, we have a kitchen and I'm having them, you know, have more plant-based options and vegan options and making sure everything's labeled so people know. And the chefs and the culinary team and management is super open to it. I find more pushback from the patients themselves, you know,
really?
But I always keep in mind to meet people where they are because you never want to force, you know, a type of diet upon anyone. You can only educate and, you know, teach them, but you can never force somebody to adapt like new behaviors and a new, completely new diet when they've been doing something one way their entire life. And so that's why it's important to just meet everybody, especially patients, where they are and give them the information and, you know, they can make changes from there. But I also want to note issue within, you know, different communities is that there's not as much access to, like, fresh, affordable, healthy foods. And so even with sometimes the education that we provide, if we're sending back people into those communities that, you know, their resources are lower and they have less access to fresh, affordable, and healthy food, it's really, really difficult. And I feel like we have to bridge the gap between the community and healthcare. And I feel like this is an ongoing, you know, issue that we have.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. It's a responsibility to re-educate and to provide better resources as well. Because if you go into a lot of inner city communities, a lot of that's not provided. It's not available. The knowledge isn't there, as well as the types of products that are needed to transform people's health is not there as well. So I totally agree with it.
Yeah, and when I was working, like I was working in the community, so I was talking to a lot of people and, you know, getting feedback and stuff. And at this time that I was working for the food bank, a lot of people that I met in the community were like so, you know, like short on food for the month that the last thing on their mind was, you know, being plant-based, of course, which I totally understand.
Right.
So this comes down to a more like government standpoint and really trying to assist these communities. And so that's where it becomes difficult because we can't necessarily blame the person for being in that situation that they're in. We have to hit it from, you know, a higher level. And that's really, really difficult to do. But there are different like organizations that work, you know, with like inner cities and government standpoint, but it's very hard to change and we got to kind of knock it down.
That's very true. I agree. Totally agree with that. Now I have the $1 million question I want to ask, and I'm pretty sure there's somebody else that wants to ask this question. So this is the one question that I'm sure every vegan gets when they either are transitioning or they just became vegan. This is the question they get from every non-vegan, and they say, well, where are you getting your protein? You know, that's the $1 million question. Where do you get your protein, and what ideas or sources or even better ideas can you give to someone that's just starting out as a vegan and they want to know about protein, and then talk about how important that is and how unimportant it is, because there's a myth behind that as well.
So that's actually my favorite question that people could ask me, because who better to ask than a dietitian of where do you get your protein? So I love when people are trying to be sassy and ask me that question, because they ask the right person. Because I can actually use that as a moment to educate them on, you know, I think we're led to believe that protein is way more important and that we need way more than we actually do need. And it's not to say that we don't need protein. Like, protein is definitely important, especially, you know, as we get older. And for different conditions, protein is really important for, you know, healing our skin, muscles, you know, just keeping us, like, strong. But I think the misconception is that we need way more than we actually do. And just by eating enough calories, you're going to be getting enough protein within your diet, even if you're not specifically counting. And so as long as you're eating a variety of food, as like a vegan plant-based world, you're going to be getting enough protein and essential amino acids. So some different forms of protein is tofu, which is like the absolute favorite of mine because it can be seasoned in anyway, it kind of picks up the flavor that you cook it with. So if you want to like saute it in any different type of flavor, it always picks up the flavor that you cook it with, whereas chicken has a specific flavor. And I feel like tofu is way more versatile and also a lot more affordable. Tofu is actually very relatively cheap and like well priced, and you get a really good amount of protein from it. So tofu would be my number one. Do you like tofu?
I'm not a huge fan. I do cook with it, but it's probably not my first choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other ones is seitan, so like vital wheat gluten. How do you feel about that one? That's pretty versatile too.
It is. I actually like cooking with that a little bit more because I can do a little bit more with it, I think.
Yeah, so the vital wheat gluten has more of a texture of like kind of like that meaty texture that if you were to transition into eating more plant-based, I feel like seitan would be a good option because it is a little bit more relative to the meat that people are used to, like that texture and consistency.
Yeah.
As long as it's like flavored, right, it can taste really good. You can buy prepackaged seitan at the store. You can also make like homemade seitan out of vital wheat gluten. There's so many recipes online. You just search it up, like vital wheat gluten seitan recipe. And especially if you're a new vegan or trying to be more plant forward, you know, utilizing recipes and cooking can really bring you closer to your food, and, you know, you kind of build a better connection to the food that you're eating, and therefore, you know, it's just overall a better, more fun experience. And so I would recommend, like, making it from scratch if you have the resources to versus buying it in a package, you know, and also when you cook food from scratch, you know exactly what you're putting into it, whereas when you buy packaged food, the, you know, the sodium content can be higher, especially if you have like some cardiac condition. And, you know, there's just more preservatives and more. So I always recommend trying to, you know, cook from scratch when, or if you have the resources. So tofu, seitan, tempeh is another one that I like. Some people love it. Some people hate it. It's fermented soybean.
I'm not a fan. I think it's the fermented taste that I can't get with.
Okay. But the fermentation of the product is actually really good for your gut microbiome. And so if you do like it, if you do like the, you know, the tempeh taste, I would definitely include it into your diet if you're able to. And you can usually buy that prepackaged. It's a little bit hard to ferment your own soybeans. What was that?
It takes longer. You can make your own, but it takes a long time.
Yeah. And then the other one I would probably say is TVP. It's textured vegetable protein. What was that?
I like that. I use that sometimes because you can do a lot of things with that.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's kind of like beef crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bob's Red Mill has a good TVP, and you just mix it. You can put it in, like, water, or you can put it in, like, a vegetable broth, and it kind of swells up the same as, like, oatmeal or quinoa, like a grain, but it's really high in protein. So that's a really good one also. And then, of course, you know, there's beans, lentils that are high in protein, peanut butter. And then grains are also have protein in them, like quinoa. And so as long as you're having a mixture of all those types of foods, you know, you're going to be getting enough protein. And edamame is another really good one that I like.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Now, how many, I've heard the myth, now you're into bodybuilding too, so I've heard the whole thing about, from a bodybuilder's perspective, saying that you need to have 1.5 grams of protein times your weight. So if you weigh 100 pounds, you should have 150 grams of protein per day. I don't know how true that is. I don't even know if that ratio is right, but educate me on that.
Yeah, so that is like I was talking about before, how, you know, that kind of like bodybuilding world sees protein. But if you think about it, like, I go based off of kilograms. So in the hospital, if somebody is like acutely like sick and stressed, like their body is under a lot of stress, they have like wounds on their body. And I'm just comparing this to the hospital because that's, you know, kind of what I'm going based off of. So imagine somebody with like a lot of burns on their body, or like in like pressure injuries from like bed sores, or, you know, very malnourished. Like the amount of protein that we would recommend for them is pretty much max like 1.5 grams per kilogram. And so if somebody with body is only receiving 1.5 grams per kilogram, you know, and the other people believe that it's 1.5 grams per pound, you know, that's basically like double the amount that somebody in like a very sick acute state would get. So I think
that's a lot.
That, yeah. So I think that we think that we need way more protein than we actually do need, because if you really think about it, like the research shows that 1.5 grams per kilogram is, you know, a good enough amount for someone who's in like a very, very sick state who needs that protein. But a normal average person, you know, depending on your age, depending on your conditions, depending on, you know, your body fat percentage, your height, there's, and like depending on like if you've had weight loss or weight gain or your muscle tone, between 0.8, 1.2 grams per kilogram. And, you know, you can even go as low as 0.3 low. I would probably aim for more like 0.8 to 1.2. But, you know, for someone who's 150 pounds, 0.8, that's about like 50 grams of protein, which is like relatively easy. And that's really about like 220 calories out of your total calories, you know?
Oh, wow. Okay. See, you just broke that whole thing down in mathematics, and I have no idea how to do that. That's pretty good. I would love to learn that.
Yeah.
You went from kilograms to calories, and how that's really good. That would really simplify things for me, because I'm sitting here on my calculator now trying to figure out, okay, if I'm this weight and I have this in kilograms, how many? So, yeah, that's really good. So that's actually a relief now that you've broken it down to kilograms, because I was going around here thinking I needed over like 250 grams of protein. I'm like, where am I going to get this? I don't even eat that much.
Yeah, 250 grams of protein is like way impossible to eat. You would have to eat like, oh my gosh,
like a whole box of tofu.
Yeah, basically, no, not even a whole box. You'd have to eat like 5 tubs of tofu.
Oh my god, I can't eat that much.
Yeah, because tofu is actually relatively low in calories. It's one of the lower calories protein food out of like the other proteins alongside, because it's a soybean. So soybean is a little bit lower than like, say, the vital wheat gluten or the seitan.
Okay.
So you'd have to eat a lot of tofu.
That would be a lot of tofu. And a lot of lentils too, a lot of beans. I actually really like lentils a lot. Probably be like a whole bucket of lentils.
Well, the thing about like beans and lentils and these types of foods that like plant-based proteins are typically more filling than, say, an animal-based protein, because of to the fact that there's more fiber in those foods. So beans have more fiber than, say, like a piece of chicken. And so the fiber is going to help fill you up for a longer amount of time. And so
that's
naturally, what was that?
That's an amazing fact. I didn't realize that that's what the
difference. Yeah, so that's why people who typically eat like a plant-based diet naturally are going to eat less amount of food because it actually fills you up for a longer amount of time. And obviously there's caveats to that. But for the, you know, everybody, even vegans can eat not so healthy. So that's why I just wanted to say there's a caveat to that. But if you are, you know, aware of what you're eating and you're choosing, you know, more whole foods, because I always say you want to try to eat more whole foods because that's what's going to fill you up. That's what's going to satiate you the longest. And that's also what's going to help prevent heart disease, certain cancers, and, you know, increase like your gut microbiome. Like fiber is just all around the best thing ever. It helps, you know, maintain your blood sugar levels, prevent, you know, diabetes, and overall keeps like your weight on like lower because you're getting full on foods that are lower in calories.
Got it. Well, we got some callers waiting in queue. They either give a comment or ask a question. So I'm going to let those people in. Caller one, state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Oh, hi. My name is Ricardo Richard, and I'm calling from, I guess, I would say Trenton, New Jersey. I'm actually a host also on the network. So a lot of this stuff is very informative. I'm gluten-free. My friend, I believe she may be vegan. So she's been, like, telling me about, like, a lot of plant-based stuff. I actually went to this plant-based thing places in Princeton, New Jersey called Planet Plate. So basically they have a lot of alternative foods where they'll say it's still chicken or Philly cheese sticks, but it's actually, I guess it's tofu and all different kind of stuff or whatever. So I would say my first time trying it, like they had cauliflower, hot wings, you know. I think some of the food is the consistency for me, but the food, I would say it's okay. I think it's really just a mind thing. Like I feel like I'm looking at it and I'm like, I'm tasting it. And then mentally I'm like, no, this is not chicken or this is not that. But I would say that, today I went there and I had like, these, I think it's like, they say it's chicken, but I think it's tofu and like they say chicken tacos or whatever. So, and then what else did I have? I had the chicken tacos. Then I had like a, some type of, I don't know what kind of burger it was, but it was definitely maybe a vegan burger, I'm assuming, with gluten-free bread. So I just think that, and the french fries is regular. So the thing about, I realized with eating healthier, I think I heard the guy say earlier about it's time-consuming. And also a lot of the, it's expensive too. Like I'm saying like if you, like buying a lot of food, me, I also, like I said, I'm gluten free. So a lot of this stuff or whatever is expensive. And it's not really, a lot of this stuff is not in the inner city as well.
Yeah.
Like we have a lot of like corner stores in the inner city, liquor stores. So it can be very difficult. So I think for me, I'm still processing that I'm gluten free. So just trying to change your lifestyle where you're used to just eating maybe a bunch of junk or just eating to survive instead of, like, eating to live can be challenging. But I honestly, like I said, this is really good to listen to this stuff because, like, in my mind, like, honestly, like, I would love to, like, eat more vegan. I don't really know the difference between vegan and vegetarian. Some people said you don't eat eggs or cheese or something, but I would love to eat more cleaner. I tell myself all the time, like, I want to. But I think it's really just about commitment, because I'm like, I want to do it, and then I'll see some chicken wings and stuff, and I'm like, nah, I can't do it. So
yeah.
I think it's just something in my mind I want to, but I haven't made that decision yet, so.
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, like, congratulate yourself for wanting to make a shift and a change and already, you know, going forward with some of those changes, because it is really hard depending on, like, how you were raised and, like, you know, the community that you lived in and, you know, your resources and how your family ate and cultural. Like, there's a lot that goes into why we eat the way that we eat. And so sometimes it's difficult, even if you want to eat a certain way or better or vegan or whatever the case may be, it's, you know, your mind kind of keeps like reverting back to, you know, what's normal for you, which is not wrong and it's not bad. And I think a slow transition is better than no transition. And even if you're more plant forward, you know, you don't have to go completely vegan overnight. Something that, you know, you want to do, it's definitely possible. But again, it's very difficult in some of these inner cities to achieve that. And, you know, that's why we need more resources within these like communities. But also the, you know, the pricing, when you go out to eat and you buy foods, unfortunately it is like a little more pricey in the vegan realm, but going shopping at like a farmer's market and, you know, using coupons and different things when you go actually grocery shopping in the store, you can make it work with, you know, less, like on a budget. And I don't like spending like a lot of money on my food. And so I definitely like pay more attention to like what's on sale and like use like farmer's markets and different resources to be able to get some of those foods for like a little bit cheaper. But did I answer your question?
You definitely did. And I just wanted to say this too. Like, when I became gluten free or whatever, like, I had, for some reason, because I was like limited certain things that I could eat, like, I don't know, like, I just started like liking cheese more and like cookies and certain stuff. Like, it was crazy, but I really started liking cheese. And I didn't realize that until my friend, she was telling me, yo, try like, because I started doing like dairy free stuff. And I would take, like, lactose and stuff like that, like, you know, and that stuff wound up messing me up, too. So I was like, I wonder what is it, like. But anyway, my friend or whatever, she was just like, you know, you can get plant-based cheese and that type of stuff, or dairy-free cheese. And then I also see, like, some of the stuff they said is, like this label with lead or something it says, like, caution. You could get lead or something like that. So I was like, oh, my goodness, there's always something in anything you eat. But I have to say, when I do eat the dairy-free stuff, like the plant-based cheese or those type of things, I feel a difference. I didn't initially feel it, but I feel a difference in my stomach. You get what I'm saying? Like eating the cheese and the dairy, the milk and all that stuff, like I feel a difference. And I'm like, wow, like – that dairy, I realize the dairy, I like it, but it's really not good.
Yeah, a lot of people have difficulty tolerating lactose. And actually, the less lactose that you eat, like the less dairy you eat, the more sensitive your body can become to it, because your body stops, you know, creating the enzyme that is needed to break down that dairy product, the lactose. You know, so it is difficult to transition into plant-based, but give yourself some time to adjust, like, your taste buds and your body, because it is a little bit difficult to transition from eating a certain way and certain flavors to eating, you know, to shifting that to more plant-based foods. And so food might taste more bland initially, but if you season it properly and you learn, you know, learn some different culinary skills and research some, like, on YouTube, you can look up some different recipes and stuff. The more you integrate those plant-based foods into your, you know, current life, the more your taste buds will kind of adjust to that change of, like, more whole, you know, types of food. So give yourself some grace. You're doing good.
Thank you so much.
Ricardo, the next time you come into a restaurant, man, you got to speak up because I didn't even know you were there today.
Oh, you couldn't hear me?
No, I didn't know you were there. I wish I'd have known. I would have came out and greeted you.
Oh, the Planet Base?
The Planet Plate. That's where I'm the chef.
Oh, did you go to Planet?
That's crazy. Oh,
yes.
Snap.
I told
wow.
Last show, and you said you were in Trenton. I'm like, you're right in my neck of the woods.
Dang, I wonder if I met you before.
Yeah, that's
know.
How me and him we met at that restaurant. Actually,
Margo met. Yes, at the restaurant. So yes, you got to come by and let it be known that you're there, and tell somebody to bring me out of the back because I'm always there.
Okay. Dang, that's crazy. Wow. That's crazy.
Now,
I didn't even realize that.
I would have gave you some more recommendations.
Okay. Wow. Wow, wow,
yeah,
wow. My mind is blown right now. Like, wow. That's crazy. It's a small world. Like, you think it's a real big world, but it's really a small world. Like,
small world. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you called in. Thank you for calling in and talking to my guest. I hope that
thank you guys
helps you in your journey, and keep going. Don't be discouraged. It's just, you know, another step further to you improving your health. And look at it like this. I always tell people who are transitioning into plant-based eating or just trying to improve a little bit that you have so many more options because here's the thing. People who eat meat only have about maybe 5 or 6 general options that are mainstream to their selections. Like, you know, everybody eats either chicken, fish, turkey, beef, pork, maybe some seafood, like, you know, shrimp, you know, lobster, whatever. That's the extent of it. Do you not know the earth is going to continue to yield of millions of plants and vegetables and fruits that you probably have never tried because most of them are region specific. So, you know, what we're getting here is just a small token of what the earth yields to us. I mean, there's so many more tropical fruits and vegetables that we don't even have can't even get our hands on because it's outside of our region. But you just look at it like this. You have so many more things to taste and find out and see if you like. Way past
right.
The 5 or 6 meats or, you know, animal-based proteins that you can eat. You're on a journey that will be able to feed you for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a good way to look at it. I didn't look at it like that. Like, it's just chicken, yeah. Hamburgers, like the same stuff. You kind of get tired sometimes eating the same food, but I guess that makes sense. Like, it's so many different fruits and vegetables, especially overseas. Like, you know, that's a good way to look at it.
The thing is that these foods are available to everyone, whether you're vegan or not vegan. But for some reason, you know, not being vegan, like if you eat like a regular, you know, typical American diet, we tend to forget that other foods exist outside of what we're used to. Whereas when you go vegan or more plant-based, you have to be more creative, and so you're finding other foods. Like, I'm actually, like, when I go grocery shopping, like, I am looking for food that I never would have eaten before just because I'm vegan. And so I've diversified the amount of the different types of food that I'm eating because I went vegan. I'm actually eating more variety of food than I was before when these foods have always been, you know, as an option. I just never thought to eat that way. Like, people who eat meat are still able to eat tofu and tempeh and seitan and all these things.
Right.
They're just
yeah.
not aware of this. And so, therefore, people think that they're limiting their options by eating vegan, whereas a whole new world opens because you actually are more, you know, conscious about what you're eating. And so you find other options that you wouldn't have found before.
That's a very good observation. So true, because a lot of people I hear say that all the time, and they'll say, well, you know, I don't want to just eat salad and tofu. I'm like, there's so many more things you can try. and eat. You know, you're not.
Yeah, it's just about, you know, learning and educating yourself and exploring. Exploring is the best thing to do, you know, going to the grocery store and exploring and going to different cultural markets and learning about other cultures instead of just, like, American culture, you know?
And that's very true because, to be honest, American, so-called American culture food is very limited. It's just whatever you can put on a plate that's very big and fried, that's pretty much American culture food.
Yeah.
There's so many more varieties of things we can eat. And I like the fact that you mentioned going to other international-type markets and markets that from other ethnicities. I love particularly shopping at, like, an Asian or Indian market because it's where I see a lot of fruits that I'd never see in a regular conventional grocery store.
Yeah.
Also, like, a lot of they have a lot of vegan products that, you know, they'll take tofu and make it a totally different way than what I'm used to, and that may spark my interest for, you know, trying something new that way, you know?
Yep, yep. I love shopping at those different types of markets also. They have a lot of really cool stuff.
They really do. Stuff that you don't see anywhere else.
And relatively cheap and expensive.
Yeah.
And,
that's very
like,
true.
pretty healthy.
Yeah, yeah. True. Doesn't have a lot of the commercialized, you know, chemical ingredients that you see in the publicly traded brand name foods that are in our conventional grocery stores.
Yeah. Well, a lot of have certain products banned that in America we don't have banned when it comes to adding, you know, these different things to food. So America, we don't have as much restrictions on what we can add to food, whereas other cultures and other countries have a lot of restrictions on what they can add to food.
That's very true. Well, we got another caller in queue that wants to talk to you. You're buzzing the lines tonight, which I'm happy for. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, peace and blessings, Chef. And peace and blessings to you again.
Oh, thank you.
This is Sister Bessie, your fellow host.
How are you, Sister Bessie?
Oh, I'm doing fine. As you know, I'm not a vegan. I did want to ask a question because I remember Dr. Sabi talking about eating certain meats and how they stay in your system for 3 to 5 days. When your stool changes color, if your stool changes like a real dark black, does that mean that your intestines need to be cleaned out?
So what I'm going to say is that our bodies do a pretty good job, our liver, at, like, filtering out, like, a lot of things. So, and our colon does a really good job usually at filtering out, you know, like, stool. Typically, when somebody has black stool, it usually means that there's some sort of, like, GI bleed. So that's typically what I'm used to seeing, like, in the hospital, especially if someone comes in with, like, dark stool. It usually means that there's some sort of, like, gastrointestinal bleed because when blood comes out of the stool, it shows as black. It can also be black from taking Pepto-Bismol. But other than that, I've never seen, like, meat cause it to be black. But usually it's a GI bleed.
Okay.
About the black stool and meat specifically. I have to look.
Do you recommend that a person cleanse their intestines out at least once a month?
So I believe that our bodies are designed to be able to cleanse themselves. And so by sometimes like adding detoxifiers, it can affect our kidneys and work, you know, our kidneys and liver sometimes can work extra hard. And I've actually had some cases where people took like too much of like a supplement and ended up needing like a liver transplant. And so not saying that that's going to happen to everybody, but I think that if you're eating, you know, like fresh fruits, vegetables, eating healthy, eating enough fiber, like your body is going to excrete what it needs to without having to do like colon cleanses and stuff like that. I feel like that's kind of a misconception as long as you're eating, you know, enough fiber. So I would say the best way to like cleanse your body and your colon is through eating fresh fruits, vegetables, having enough fiber, and things like that. So that would be my recommendation. Everybody has like differing opinions on like the GI type of like cleansing and stuff, but I would say that our bodies know best. Our bodies know how to excrete it, and we are created and designed to be able to do that.
All right. Thank you so much. I am enjoying the show.
Okay.
I'm listening. And thank you, Chef, for what you do. My show will be on the 29th, and it's the front porch.
Oh, awesome.
Very nice. You guys go over and listen to the show on the 29th. Thanks for calling, Sister Bessie. All right, we got another caller in queue. Caller 3, state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, good evening, Chef. This is Commissioner Chinchilla Jonesia. How are you tonight?
Oh, good. How are you? This is my vegan naturopath friend. Dr. Chinchilla, meet my registered dietitian friend, Amargo. I'm pretty sure you guys have a lot in common.
How are you, Margo? Good to meet you. Good. I just want to chime in a bit with what Sister Bessie had asked about, you know, if the body needs to have, you know, a cleansing or a detoxifier to aid in getting rid of waste. Now, I feel as though, well, not feel as though, but the body definitely can renew itself. God designed our bodies perfectly and wonderfully, that our bodies are designed to heal itself. However, what we put into our bodies causes that process to not happen. So there are so many people out here with colon problems because of what they eat. And with that being said, yes, they definitely need to have some type of colon cleaner, some type of detoxification, because their bodies are not moving the way they should. We're supposed to eliminate after every meal, just as animals do. You know, if you have a dog, after the dog eats, that owner will take that dog out for a walk about 30 minutes to an hour after it eats, because it's going to eliminate. And our bodies are supposed to do that same thing. We're supposed to eliminate after every meal, just as babies eliminate after every meal. We're supposed to do that, but we don't, because of the foods that we eat. People are eating a lot of processed foods today. They're eating way too much meat, and meat will cause you to become constipated. Meat takes a very long time to digest. I've had clients that I put on a cleansing and detoxification program, and you know, they call me up and they tell me, oh, well, look, what this is what came out, and they'll send me pictures. And I'm like, okay, I don't need to see the pictures. Just, you know, tell me about it. But I've had several people tell me that they saw meat come out in their stool. And this one man I'll never forget, because he told me, he said, oh, I saw chicken. Chicken came out in my stool. And I'm like, wow, well, that's good. He's like, well, no, you don't understand. He said he hadn't eaten chicken in 10 years, but yet that chicken was still in his colon. So that was kind of crazy. So in the colon, the colon can become backed up. And what will happen is waste will become impacted on top of waste on top of waste. And then it will begin to excrete toxins throughout the body. And that can become very dangerous. So we definitely want to make sure we're eliminating properly. So for those of you, if you're not eliminating after every meal, something is definitely wrong. And, yes, you do want to double up on eating fiber, like apples. You know, the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Hey, there's definitely some truth to that because apples have a lot of nutrients that our bodies need. So it has fiber, it has pectin, it has so much. So we definitely want to start eating apples, eat some bananas, eat some berries, all of the berries, because we definitely want to make sure we're healthy with keeping a clean colon. Waste in the colon, that's how disease starts. So definitely keep your colons clean, everybody, and do it because our lives and health depend on it. You know, health begins in your colon. Also, health and life begins in the blood also. Clean blood, clean colon equals great health. So I'm definitely enjoying the show tonight, and it's wonderful to meet a dietitian that's a vegan. Awesome,
yes.
Awesome. That is so very awesome. And
yes,
how long
yes.
have you been a vegan?
About 6 years now.
Okay.
So,
that is
a good amount
awesome.
Of time. But I'm also pretty young, so I think that's, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, awesome. I'm proud of you. I'm definitely proud of you.
Great. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in, Dr. Taylor.
I was going to just say, like, I definitely agree with the addition of fiber. I think we don't take it, you know, seriously enough, like how important it is. And I would say, you know, that if you're unable to, you know, afford a cleansing type of product, I would say that, you know, if you are able to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables and getting the different types of fiber, that is definitely so much more beneficial than not having that at all. And so it's going to help diversify your gut microbiome, you know, which is going to, in turn, there's a lot of research coming out about how that affects our mental health. You know, as in addition to excreting the stool out of your body. So fiber is definitely important and in combination with water because they move together.
Absolutely. Good, very good point. So you, when you give someone a new recommendation about their health, especially like dealing with patients, I guess, in the hospital, do you put anyone on perhaps a fast or maybe change them over to maybe doing just a cleanse with just like water and fruits or something like that? Or do you just completely change or give them foods to transition with?
So it depends on what they come in for. You know, people who are put on bowel rest would be someone with some sort of GI condition where they're not tolerating solid foods. So someone like that would be on like a GI rest, like a bowel rest. And so they would typically be having nothing by mouth for a day, 2 days. And then after that, they'd be advanced to like kind of like clear liquids, because sometimes with different, you know, GI conditions, like a blockage or, you know, a small bowel obstruction or an ileus, you know, they're not able to tolerate the fiber. And so in that case, I would say having that bowel rest is important for those types of conditions, or if someone has like a fecal impaction. But most of the time I would recommend like not doing a restriction or fasting while in the hospital, because especially because like most people who are in the hospital are have like full body infections. It's called sepsis, and their bodies are working extra hard, you know, to heal. And so by taking away food and not giving them nutrients, you actually may be doing more harm than good. So unless it's those specific conditions that are like the gastrointestinal tract, I would say probably err on the side of not doing like a bowel rest for people who are able to eat and tolerate food.
Wow. I mean, that's a really good approach. Just, you know, because I guess people get scared to think about, you know, what they have to give up or, you know, what they have to change over. And that's where a lot of people falter in changing over to such a diet, because they don't want to give certain things up. And sometimes they know it's bad, but they don't want to give up the flavor, they don't want to give up the taste, or the emotion that's attached to the food they're eating. Man, most of it's emotion.
Sometimes I like to focus on what we can add versus what we are taking away. And so when you are faced with, oh, what can I add to my diet? It is a little bit more easy to move forward with that type of mentality versus what am I going to take away, right? It's like the half glass empty versus half glass full theory. You know, if you think about anything as what do I get to add to my diet, like naturally it's going to be a more positive experience for you versus coming from a place of restriction. When we come from a place of restriction, we're less likely to actually adhere to what we're trying to do, because anything that comes from a place of restriction, our minds kind of aren't good at restriction. And so by thinking that way, our mind is actually going to want to do the opposite of that restriction.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because we're designed to like we're not meant to be hungry, and we're not meant to come from a place of restriction. Like, our bodies are meant to be nourished and to be added to, and so, you know, our minds are very, very intelligent and intuitive. And so as soon as you come from a place of restriction, like when you say, I can't have XYZ, like say, like, I can't have chicken, we more often than not, like, want it. And why is that? Like, it's because we're saying, like, we can't have it. When you come from a place of saying,
yeah.
What was that? When you come from, like, most people who are vegan want, like, don't want that food, right? So it's
true.
If you focus on, like, I don't want that chicken, like, you actually don't want it, versus when you're like, I can't have chicken, like, most people will want to eat the chicken.
Right,
if you really get down to, like, learning about animal agriculture and, like, the environmental effects of you know, the animal agriculture industry, and you really understand how it affects not just you, but everybody around you. It affects the animals. It affects low-income communities where they place these slaughterhouses. It affects our health. It affects everything. And so if you really start learning about that aspect, you don't most people wouldn't want to eat that way anymore, and it becomes a lot easier for them to not, you know, eat that way because they don't want to. And that's why people who are vegan for moral and ethical reasons typically end up being vegan for, you know, the rest of their life, because they don't want to eat that food again. So they never feel like they need it or can't have it.
Right. It's not just a fad or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got another caller. Caller 4, state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hey, yes, sir. My name is Huni Bakatun. Tenant stage name is the Magic Man Haru. Caller from currently Nashville.
Nashville? Oh, hello, Nashville.
Oh, yes. We like to get our eat on down here in Nashville. Quick question, though. For someone who's making a transition from pretty much eating animal products and byproducts pretty much all of their life, would it be wise to start off with the cleansing? I know that keeps coming up, but the reason why my question is really at the forefront of my mind, just reflecting on what the woman of God has said, that this guy made a deposit of chickens and haven't had chicken in a long time. That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
So would you strongly suggest before, you know, packing a whole bunch of plant-based stuff inside of their body, would it be wise to start off with a thorough cleansing first? Would you suggest that?
Oh, like a thorough cleanse? So I would say that by introducing more plant-based, you know, food into your diet, like that in itself is going to assist in the cleansing process because our kidneys and our liver do a really good job at it. I wouldn't say you need to specifically do like a colon cleanse. I think just by starting to, you know, pay more attention to the food that you are putting in your body, that will cleanse it, if that makes sense. Hopefully, I know that answer wasn't like perfect.
Oh, yes, it makes a lot.
I believe that just by incorporating more plant foods, you know, that in itself is going to benefit you and your body, you know, not too much at once because you don't want to go from one day not eating any fiber to the next day eating like, you know, like all of the vegetables and all of the fruit. A little bit transition, you know, is going to be the most beneficial for you to help like your body and your GI tract because it takes a little bit of time for our gut microbiome to adjust to those different types of foods that we're eating and our colon to adjust to the different types of food that we're eating, get used to the amount of fiber. But I would say you probably don't need like a specific colon cleanse.
Okay. And our last question, you know, water, as far as purified water, such as distilled or anything like that, will also help or assist with flushing certain impurities out of the body as well, right?
The purified water, is that what you're asking? Is that better?
Yeah, I guess a lot of people now, I guess, because things come in phases like alkaline water and stuff like that, would that be a form of kind of like purifying, you know, in a liquid sense, not so much in food? Or solid food, you know, trying to cut back sugar intake from sodas and teas and all the other stuff, just plain water.
Yeah, I would say that definitely if you could reduce your consumption of like sugar sweetened beverages and replace it with water, it really depends on, you know, like where you're from, your access to like different types of water. I would say any type of water, whether it's purified or not, is going to be a better option than, say, like a sugar-sweetened beverage. You know, if you want to get into, like, the nitty-gritty, is purified water, like, potentially better than regular water? Yeah, probably because, you know, in the area it depends on where you live also. The water that is like surrounding you. I'm not sure how the water in Nashville is, but, you know, like using a filter, like a Brita filter or like a purifier over the sink, can definitely help like get out some of those like impurities within the water. But as far as like alkaline water and those things, they're not 100% necessary because our body, you know, like our stomachs are going to process the water like relatively the same. And so I wouldn't be too concerned about like alkaline versus not alkaline in regards to water. But definitely water is way better option and any type of water in that case than the sugar sweetened beverages. So even if that's the small, you know, move you make, you're better off making small moves than you know, maybe jumping all the way to like alkaline water that might be way too expensive and not as accessible, and not really realistic for like long term.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight, and thank you so much, Chef. I got to find out where you're located at, man. You know, Magic Man is also a traveling man. I got to get my travel on so I can come and sup with you.
Please do.
Okay?
Please do. Come check us out, man. Good to see
you. All right. I really, really appreciate you and all that you bring to WBNN and all that you help provide for us in our world.
Yeah, thanks, you can sir. Also, I'm on Instagram. You can follow me at Couture, C-O-U-T-U-R-E, dot wellness. I should come up on your Instagram if you want to give me a follow.
Oh, I sure will. And you can find me as Magic Man, spelled with a J and not a G, and a K instead of a C with a 3 at the end of it.
Okay.
I say it a lot, but you can find me. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Chef, nothing but divine love and respect for you, sir. Okay?
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
All right.
You got some new fans there, Margo.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, you definitely gave some great information. I really enjoyed this whole conversation. And just wanted to know, what do you recommend as far as what? Not necessarily what you recommend, but what is your general practice as far as eating? Do you do 2 meals a day, 1 meal a day? Do you eat late? Do you do like intermittent fasting? How do you approach it?
So I personally, the way that I eat is, you know, I've come to the way that I eat through my current like lifestyle, you know, my work, my career, my like health goals, my body goals, you know, my past experience with food and, you know, different disordered eating habits that I have had with food. So the way that I eat is going to be different than the way that somebody else eats. So just because I eat a certain way doesn't mean that other people should also eat 100% the same way, because what works for me doesn't always work for somebody else. But personally, I focus a lot on like eating whole foods and real food. So I try to do like in the morning I have like oatmeal with some sort of berry, usually like raspberries or blueberries, and peanut butter. That's usually my breakfast every single morning. That's my go-to. It makes me feel full. It makes me feel like good. I know that I had, you know, my fruit, my grain. Sometimes I'll throw a scoop of like some plant-based protein powder in it to get protein a little bit extra in the morning. And then like a few hours later, I'll have lunch. At each meal, I try to have like either a fruit, a vegetable, a grain, protein, and a fat source. So I like to have all of that together, because the way that those macronutrients work in our bodies is all for a different reason, like the fats, the carbohydrates, and the protein. So at each meal, I like to have, you know, a little bit of each. Most of the time I try to focus on whole grains, because that's going to be iron fiber, you know, versus, something that's not whole grain. And then I usually have like a snack in the afternoon. So like a banana or like some sort of fruit, like cantaloupe or melon or mangoes I really like. And then I'll have like some nuts or like, maybe like a plant-based yogurt. And then usually for dinner is pretty much the same as what I have for lunch. So like some sort of grain, protein, vegetable. And then before I go to bed, I really like to have like some dates or like something sweet. So I always try to like aim for more whole foods. But I also do really like to try new vegan restaurants and eat those foods, like mac and cheese and cupcakes and those types of things.
Yeah.
So I leave room to be able to still eat those types of foods, because I thoroughly enjoy them. And I think that food is not only for our bodies, but for our mental health. And so
yeah,
sometimes I need a cupcake.
Yeah, I get it.
I always keep vegan ice cream in my freezer.
Oh, you gotta do that.
So even the dietitian eats cupcakes and ice cream.
That's right. But they're vegan, and there's no egg, milk, or dairy in there. So I get it. You can still enjoy. And I think basically what it boils down to is just having a good balance.
Yeah, of course. And you know, the reason why I'm vegan is because of ethical, moral reasons, mostly, right? And then secondary comes health. But because I'm vegan for, you know, mostly ethical and moral reasons, like, I am going to have vegan ice cream.
There you go. That's justification enough for me. Well, thank you so much, Amargo, for coming on and being part of my show. I really appreciate you sharing your journey as well as your career expertise and just shedding some light and giving a new approach to getting understanding on how to get more out of our health journey as it pertains to eating plant-based and giving us some options as well as knowing how to count some things. You gave us some good number education tonight on the whole protein.
Sorry if that was a little bit
No, it's good because I haven't heard it explained that way, so it was good for me. I wanted to hear it, so it was very good. So I really appreciate you coming on, and especially at such short notice. And, you know, I hope that this is not your last time coming on because I'm going to extend the invitation again.
I'm always open to talk about this topic.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Of course, you were a great guest, and I'm pretty sure all my callers that did call in, they really enjoyed you because they were very intrigued by what you had to say. And when you for you coming in at this time, it just made my show so much more rounded out. So I really appreciate you and what you have to offer. And I wish you the best on your journey and in your clinical career, and just I hope you get to expand yourself and with all the knowledge that you have and take it a step further. But with all that in mind, we are going to move into Ngozi time. Brother O, take it away.
Thank you so much, Chef, and of course, all the folks out there, you know, it's always good to have a healthy reason to be alive. And Chef always gives us that option. And I love it. You know, everybody don't have to have the option to live healthy. You know, we all need to do better in our lives to do what is best for us at this time. So what more can I say tonight? Thank you so much, Amargo. We love you very, very much, sharing your gifts and all the folks out there. Tomorrow night, we come right back here at DNA with a young man who's amazing in his impressions. His name is John Monforto, and his outstanding show, named the John Monforto Show, tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time right here at WBNN. And, of course, we have advertising through and Ngozi Time Multimedia. We are at Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi Time. We'll double in the late when Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments or suggestions are welcome for program tonight. olaydaylay.goeswithmy@gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Della and Lay, where it goes and saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in our Armed Force Radio and support us on a constant basis tonight. And now back to our wonderful chef, Yosef, for the last 2 minutes to go in this wonderful program tonight. I really appreciate him. Come on, Chef, let's get it.
Thank you, Brother O. Always a pleasure to be on WBNN Network. Thank you to all my fellow co-hosts that called in and shared and asked questions and gave comments, and to our commissioner, Dr. Chinchilla, always bringing some insight. Thank you very much for your words of encouragement. I just want to say to you, all of you that are transitioning into plant-based eating and looking to expand your health, go for it. Don't be afraid. There's always so much information out there you can do to research and find out more to better your health. And you can always tune into the show because we always try to bring you information that is going to help you go a little bit further on your journey. So thank you to all that are listening tonight and have tuned in. And to all those that are listening abroad that don't get a chance to call in, but you're listening online, I appreciate you as well. To the Brother O and my fellow host, thank you. And I want to say good night and stay healthy.